while at TGNY, you saw some potential there. I don't know which comes first here, but in 1970, you actually started your own business. Is that true?
That's correct.
Wasn't it while you were at the store, you grew the pet department?
Yes, TGNY gave you a lot of latitude, and I think that's one of the reasons why that they didn't make it is because they really didn't have a cookie-cutter type setup. It's sort of like every manager could go his own direction. And I built a pet department that had 13 employees in it here in Oklahoma City. And I saw that you could take a category and really expand on it and really do something with it. But because I was so familiar with pets and I saw so many fish die and hamsters die, I said, you know, if I want to specialize in something, I really want to specialize in the craft department. And that was a dream of mine. But it wasn't the retail that I got started first in. I was sitting at the lunch counter at Penn Square that had a TGNY with two fellow managers, and we were just sitting there talking, and one of them said, we ought to get in business and make clocks. And I said, well, if I'm going to make something, I don't want to make clocks. I want to make little miniature frames, because here at TGNY, I can't find any of them, and there's a fad right now with people buying these little frames that have canvas in them. The customer would paint on the canvas, and they'd put four or five of them in a grouping on the wall. So we didn't know how much it would take. None of us had any money. It took all we had to support our families. And so we said, well, we'll just go next door to Penn Square Bank and we'll borrow the money. One of the three said he didn't want to gamble the $200, so he wouldn't go with us. So a guy named Larry Pico went with me. We went to the bank and we borrowed the $600 to start what we called GRECO, which was Green and Pico.
Was it easy to obtain that loan?
We didn't have a hard time because of our jobs. They loaned us the $600. And so we spent $450 of that for a chopper that would miter the moldings. And we spent the other $150 buying the moldings. Well, we didn't read any directions or anything, so we put this in our garage, and we came up with just about a dozen little samples of frames to give to a salesman that had a lot of lines. He had our line, but a lot of other lines. In about a month, he came back with $3,500 worth of orders. Well, we had no money left. So we took the orders down to Denton's here in Oklahoma City. Mr. Denton, we said, look, we've got these $3,500 worth of orders, and we need so many feet of moldings to make this, and probably take us 60 days to turn this, to make the product and get the money back to be able to pay you. And he extended us the credit to make these first $3,500 worth of frames, and that's how we got started in the manufacturing business in 1970.
That led up to the opening of the first Hobby Lobby in 72?
Exactly. In 1972, we rented kind of a retail spot in North Robinson. It was only 600 square feet. So we used 300 in the back. We moved the manufacturing out of the garage into the back part of this store, which was 300 square feet. And then in the front 300 feet, we put the retail store. Now, there was only about $4,000 it cost in that first retail store, because that's all the profit that we had saved from the making and manufacturing of the frames. See, we had all of our day jobs. You know, there was no way.
You were
way.
Still working at TGNY.
I was working at TGNY, and at night we would work. Actually, my wife, Barbara, was the one that really worked most of the frames, delivering them to the various small arts and crafts, mom and pop stores is mainly who we sold those to. She would do all the work, but my partner wouldn't show up for work days. He'd send his brother. So it was at that time that I asked if he wanted to sell out, and then that was when we bought the company from my partner.
With Barbara working in this and working so hard, she must have caught the spirit of retail herself, or was this something I need to do because David wants me to do it, or did she also enjoy this dream?
I think she saw that it would work. You know, it wasn't retail that we were in there. Primarily, she was in manufacturing, and, of course, later in 1972, it became retail. That's when I hired someone to help run the first store. I hired a manager to manage the first store that was only 300 square feet, and then she took the back room, and she continued to work with the manufacturing and the shipping of all of these little frames. And here again, my heart was retail, but it was kind of a means to an end. There was no money to start a retail store. So sometimes you don't start with where you want to eventually be. What's the means to an end? And our means to an end was start making a little bit of money to pump into our first retail store. And she worked for the first 5 years without pay. there was many, many times that we would say, what are we doing this for? It's hard. You know, we're crawling. And there's a lot of very, very, very difficult times when you start with no money at all. Almost $600 was not a lot to start what is now a $2 billion company. But she was very faithful, and we had children. By that time, we had all three children. In fact, she would take our youngest daughter down in our carrier, I remember, and take her down to ship frames. And my daughter would be in a little rocker or something while she was shipping frames. So she took care of the home because I was working for TGNY probably 60, 70 hours a week. And so she was the reason why we're here today, is because it couldn't have happened without her free help, because that was the only way we could have survived, because there was no money to pay anybody to do otherwise.